folks, welcome back to Indaba Africa. This is Chris once again. Hello, folks. Welcome back to Indaba Africa News of the Day. April 17th, 2021. It's a Saturday. Going to get to the headlines and in-depth analysis here in just a moment. But it's been several days since I last did a news update. It's not because I've fallen off the cart, but rather I've been decisively engaged with other events which have kept me from doing it. So welcome back to today, the 17th of April, 2021, and Indaba Africa News of the Day. And here are the headlines. President Masisi of Botswana has replaced his finance minister, Thapelo Matsheke, in breaking news coming out of the small southern African country. Masisi appointed the trade minister, Peggy Sarame, to fill the shoes of the finance minister. The United States has slapped a visa ban on Uganda. Namibia has suspended poultry imports from South Africa after an outbreak of bird flu. This follows actions also taken by Botswana, both countries now banning poultry imports from neighboring South Africa. South Africa has been accused of fueling the conflict in Yemen with arms sales. And NASA has selected SpaceX as its partner for a return to the lunar surface. UNICEF says a large, likely long-lasting crisis is looming over Mozambique's Cabo Delgado province. And Raul Castro calls for a respectful dialogue between the United States and Cuba. Zambia needs to boost tax revenue to trim its deficit. And in Namibia, President Hage Geingob has said the rich must pay. Who's he talking about? Well, you guessed it, white Namibians, who aren't the only rich. SWAPO officials have been granted lucrative fishing rights, according to a newspaper article out of Windhoek. And Twitter has selected Ghana over Nigeria in the so-called Jollof Wars, taking place over where Twitter will place its presence in West Africa. Zimbabwe has released 320 prisoners in an amnesty by President Mnangagwa, letting prisoners go in order to curb the impact of the COVID pandemic. Gabon's mangrove swamps, which are among the world's largest, are apparently threatened. And the Radisson chain will build its first resort and its third hotel in Zambia. And those are the headlines today, the 17th of April, 2021, folks. Let's get to in-depth news and analysis of these stories. In Botswana has replaced finance minister with immediate effect, according to a statement that came out of the government. Botswana President Mokgweetsi Masisi has appointed trade minister Peggy Sarame to the position of finance minister, replacing Thapelo Matsheke. President's office informed the public on Friday. Changes take effect immediately, according to the statement. No reason given for this. Well, what's going on here? Is there some corruption, or has the finance minister fallen afoul of Eric Masisi? Or who knows? We just don't know. It'll be simply speculation at this point, and it is interesting. But I'll keep my ear to the ground, and if we get news updates on what's actually happened and why Peggy Sarame is now the finance minister in Botswana, we'll bring you up to date on those news developments. The United States has slapped visa bans on Ugandans linked to the disputed polls. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken says Uganda's election process was neither free nor fair. You think? Yikes. The United States said it's imposing visa restrictions on those believed to be responsible for or complicit in undermining the democratic process in Uganda, including an election in January and the campaign period. The government of Uganda must significantly improve its record and hold accountable those responsible for flawed election conduct, violence, and intimidation, according to Blinken. Opposition candidates were routinely harassed, arrested, and held illegally without charge. Ugandan security forces were responsible for the deaths and injuries of dozens of innocent bystanders and opposition supporters, Secretary of State Blinken said in a statement on Friday. Statement, however, did not specify who was affected by the visa restrictions. There was no immediate reaction by the Ugandan government. 76-year-old Yoweri Museveni has dismissed allegations of vote rigging, calling the election the most cheating-free since the country gained independence from Britain in 1962. Well, that humor aside, that's clearly not the case. But for its part, Uganda has accused the U.S. of trying to subvert the election after the U.S. ambassador attempted to visit Bobi Wine, who was at the time under house arrest. U.S. Ambassador Natalie Brown was stopped from visiting the opposition leader at his residence in a suburb in the northern outskirts of the capital of Kampala. The embassy said in a statement on January 18th, Brown wanted to check on the health and safety of Bobi Wine, who became famous after years of singing about government corruption and nepotism. Folks, this is not surprising, but of course, if Donald Trump had imposed this visa ban, we would be hearing about the racist policies of Donald Trump against people of color. But of course, not a single peep out of the fraudulent race hustling leftists who ignore this. So what has happened here is that the elderly octogenarian, well, near octogenarian administration of the Manchurian cadaver has imposed visa restrictions on people without any evidence of complicit behavior in these actions that they claim. Now, I have no objections to it. I'm just making the clear point that, hey, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If you're going to call Trump a racist, Nancy Pelosi, because he told countries to stop sending his people that you can't even verify who they are as immigrants to our country. And then you lied, Nancy Pelosi, claiming that 350 million people of color were denied entry into the United States, which is total fabrication and an outright lie and a denigration of the former president and of our nation and its foreign policy. And then just be consistent here, Nancy Pelosi. Why don't you call out the Manchurian cadaver for being a racist for stopping people of color from Uganda from coming to America? Why don't you do that? Well, they won't do that, of course. But the sanctions are legitimate, and they actually, I think the U.S. government should pursue them because there are people complicit. But this should have started long ago. This should have started under the Obama administration when I was stationed in Uganda for some of the actions taking place. And certainly should be taking place now in this election with the harassment, the murder of supporters of opposition candidates, the blatant harassment, not just of Bobi Wine, but of other presidential candidates, their shoes taken from them and not returned to them, arrested. U.S. ambassador seeking to visit an opposition politician's house is a perfectly legitimate diplomatic action, and it was prevented from happening. Well, the Manchurian cadaver, somebody in the Department of State is awake and has got his influence as we suspend visas to Ugandans coming to the United States. Namibia has suspended poultry imports from South Africa over bird flu. On Thursday, Namibia suspended all poultry and bird imports from neighboring South Africa following avian flu outbreak. Chief Veterinary Officer Albertina Silongo with the Namibian Ministry of Agriculture, Water, and Land Reform said the suspension is in place as a precautionary measure for the next 21 days. There have not been any imported cases into Namibia. They're just being preemptive here. All consignments containing poultry products from South Africa will be blocked at the point of entry or sent back. Well, this comes on the heels of Botswana taking similar action, preventing imports of poultry from South Africa over this bird flu outbreak. South Africa is putting profit before Yemeni lives. The South African state has abandoned its commitment to human rights to profit from weapons deals. In doing so, it has become complicit in war crimes in Yemen. This, according to Zen Mata and Michael Marchant. Zen Mata is a researcher at Open Secrets, and Michael Marchant is also a researcher at Open Secrets. They claim that their commitment to human rights has been inward-looking, not outward-looking. That's a fair statement. Can we argue with that? But they accuse South Africans of being in poor company. South Africa is one of numerous states profiting from the conflict in Yemen. In this, it finds itself in the same camp as powerful countries that have long foregone any genuine commitment to human rights in favor of a powerful military-industrial complex. Embarrassingly, South Africa is now at risk of falling behind even those states and ending the supply of weapons to the conflict. The United States and United Kingdom have been comfortably the largest suppliers of weapons to the conflict in Yemen. Between 2015 and 2018, the U.S. topped the list, delivering $10 billion and $3 billion worth of weapons to Saudi Arabia and the UAE, respectively. In May 2019, the Trump administration vetoed three bipartisan bills that would have blocked the sale of U.S. arms to Saudi Arabia. The U.K., for its part, has nearly single-handedly kept the Saudi Air Force in the air and able to carry out a relentless six-year aerial bombing campaign that has included more than 22,000 individual air attacks. BAE Systems alone received £15 million in revenue from Saudi Arabia between 2015 and 2019. Open Secrets' new investigative report, Profiting from Misery, South Africa's Complicity in War Crimes in Yemen, reveals that since the war in Yemen began, Saudi Arabia and the EU have become the key market for South African weapons. In 2013, a little more than 3% of South African weapons exports went to these two states. In 2015 and 2016, it was up to 42% and 48.9%, respectively. Since the war in Yemen broke, South Africans' weapons worth more than 8 billion rand, $550 million have been sold to Saudi Arabia and the UAE. And this is the reason for this Open Secrets expose against South Africa. And I'll read this portion again. South Africa is one of the numerous states profiting from the conflict in Yemen. In this, it finds itself in the same camp as powerful countries that have long foregone any genuine commitment to human rights in favor of a powerful military-industrial complex. Well, that factually inaccurate, incorrect, and just shameful disparaging of the United States needs to be corrected. The United States has done more for human rights and improved the human condition for billions of people around this planet than any country in the history of humankind. And your nonsense attributing the military-industrial complex to the United States is simply factually wrong. It's disgraceful. It's absolutely disgraceful. NASA has chosen SpaceX for its next mission to the moon. La NASA choise SpaceX pour la prochaine mission vers la Lune. L'entreprise de Elon Musk est chargé de développer le système de l'agence l'usinage de l'agence spéciale américaine pour un montant de 2,9 milliards de dollars. $2.9 billion contract. This is the big time. SpaceX has hit it. Success for them. No doubt a result of their recent successful launch of getting humans into space twice now, plus the developments taking place now with the Starship, although Starship is not exactly a rousing success at the moment, having crashed repeatedly on return to Earth. Nonetheless, SpaceX has got themselves this big contract with NASA for $2.9 billion. Congratulations to SpaceX and Elon Musk, whose vision for getting humans back into space and to the moon and Mars seems to be coming to fruition. The United Nations reports, UNICEF, that the crisis in Cabo Delgado is likely large and long-lasting. This region has been hit with insecurity since 2017 when the insurrection began. According to the UN International Organization for Migration, more than 17,000 people have been on the move since the violence last month, with women and children accounting for 74% of those displaced. Prior to that, there were 670,000, including 160,000 women and adolescent girls, as well as 19,000 pregnant women who were internally displaced in Cabo Delgado province. Humanitarian needs are off the chart. Food assistance is vital, with more than 950,000 people across northern Mozambique facing severe hunger, according to the United Nations. This was predictable. I predicted it in 2011. And again, and again, and again, and again, ignored. Ignored by authorities, ignored by the world, ignored by SADC, ignored by the African Union, and certainly ignored by the Frelimo government Maputo, which doesn't exercise proper governance in the region and has long neglected Cabo Delgado province. This is horrific what's happening here, folks. The world must pay attention to what's happening in Cabo Delgado province. Cuba's dictator Raul Castro has called for respectful dialogue between the United States and Cuba. My answer to Raul Castro is to dismantle your communist fascist regime and then come knocking at our door, and we'll consider a conversation. But before you dismantle it, set aside billions of dollars of compensation for those murdered, those who were plundered from, and those who were forced into exile by your murderous regime. Then we can have a respectful dialogue. According to officials, Zambia will need to improve tax collection as its fiscal deficit remains quite high. That's what the finance ministry said just yesterday. They're expecting to conclude their latest rounds with the International Monetary Fund for an aid program to get more money into Zambia. They've been seeking to stabilize debt-burdened economy after it missed a coupon payment on a dollar bond in November, making the continent's first pandemic-era sovereign defaulter. Yep, Zambia had targeted to reduce its fiscal deficit to 9.3% of gross domestic product in 2021 from the 11.7% projected in 2020. Revenue collected from January to March amounted to 18.5 billion kwacha, or $834 million. And Namibia's president, the race-hustling Hage Geingob, is at it again. The rich must pay. Like many leftists the world over, he feels it's his place to steal from your pocket and give to he who he favors. President Hage Geingob says white Namibians should share the wealth that they have accumulated over the years, otherwise the less privileged might take it. Is that a threat? Geingob made these remarks during a courtesy call with the newly established Namibia Investment Promotion Development Board, headed by Nangula Wanja at State House. We are not saying white people must give up everything, but we must share. We must share, and if we don't, they, the have-nots, will take it from us by force and destroy everything. The president was explaining to the board that peace and development will come second if inequality is rife and if unemployment rate continues to rise. When inequality is so rampant, you cannot speak of peace and development. You can have good ideas, but they will be destroyed by those who are in the streets. Geingob did, however, say that black people who have been accumulating wealth over the last 30 years should distribute it for all to be uplifted. People are benefiting now who have the haves and the black, including the black ones. So we're not just talking about white people. Ah, so it's not just race hustling. It's class hustling. Hage Geingob is not committing simply race hustling, although he is doing that. He's also committing race or class hustling. Perhaps if the government of Namibia would spend less time stealing money from corrupt fishing schemes, if they would deliver services that the people have entrusted them to do, if they would take state revenue and use it appropriately for infrastructure, for schools and education, and focus on those things, then there would be fewer poor people in Namibia by a wide margin. Don't blame people who have been successful within your system. Blame your system and your politicians. Speaking of which, let's take a look at the next story on Namibia. Elite families blessed with fishing rights. Senior government officials and family members and politicians have again emerged as key beneficiaries in Namibia's newly awarded fishing rights. It's now emerged the number of companies awarded fishing rights by Minister of Fisheries and Marine Resources, Albert Kawana, are owned and directed by politically connected individuals. This happened despite the minister's promise of greater transparency and fairness in the awarding process. Kawena, 2 weeks ago, announced that the Ministry of Fisheries and Marine Resources awarded new fishing rights to about 298 entities out of a total of 5,176 applications received back in 2018. It took them 3 years to process these requests. The Namibian newspapers established that among the beneficiaries are President Hage Kingab's chief of protocol, Leonard Limpumbo's son, Minister of Higher Education, Training, and Innovation, Ita Kajani Maranga's niece, and Minister of Gender Equality, Poverty, Eradication, and Social Welfare, Doreen Sioka's husband. Other prominent beneficiaries include the Minister of Labor, Industrial Relations, and Employment Creation, Utoni Nyoma's daughter, National Youth Service Commissioner Felix Masukubili, and traditional authority leaders. Well, there you have it. Now you know why there's poverty. So funny that Hage Kingab comes out and says that Namibia's wealthy whites and wealthy blacks must give away their wealth, otherwise risk having it taken from them in a clear threat by the president. Comes just before the announcement of this article from the Namibian exposing more corruption in the SWAPO government. These people don't deserve to rule. The new Jollof Wars and why Twitter chose China over... chose Ghana over Nigeria for its first Africa base. The new Jollof Wars and why Twitter chose Ghana over Nigeria for its first Africa base. Twitter's announcement Monday that it will set up the first Africa base in Ghana has generated fierce debate among Nigerian users of the social media app and reignited the never-ending rivalry between the two countries known colloquially as the Jollof Wars. Many Nigerians believe that Twitter's decision is a snub to the continent's largest economy, which is seeing rapid growth and investment in its tech scene. According to polls, 39.6 million Nigerians have a Twitter account, which is more than the entire 32 million population of Ghana. Twitter chief executive Jack Dorsey capped a whirlwind tour of Africa in 2019 by pledging to move to the continent for several months in 2020. Now it seems that his business will make that move first. Well, it really doesn't matter if Ghana only has 32 million people in the country. That's not the reason why Twitter chose Ghana over Nigeria. Ease of conducting business, location, and the culture there, the business climate, are the reasons I went there, which are arguably more favorable for business. And while I have little use and respect for Jack Dorsey, it makes business sense for Twitter to locate to Ghana over Nigeria. Now, they could also have a Nigeria office at some point, but if they want to set their headquarters in West Africa or Africa in Ghana, that's a reasonable place to start. It has a long history of work in the IT industry and many successful actions. Zimbabwe's President Emmerson Mnangagwa has released with an amnesty 320 prisoners in order to tamp down the concerns over COVID pandemic. Zimbabwe's released 320 prisoners from its biggest prison as part of a plan to ease overcrowding and combat the spread of the virus in the southern African nation's jails. The amnesty, an estimated 3,000 prisoners across Zimbabwe, could be released. While the country's 146 prisons have a holding capacity of 17,000, there are over 20,000 inmates currently held in them. To date, Zimbabwe has reported just 37,534 cases of the virus and 1,551 deaths attributed to it. Gabon's mangrove swamps are under threat, according to analysts. The northern coast of Gabon, the rumble of chainsaws has now joined the usual buzz of insects in the mangrove forest fronting the Atlantic. The chainsaws are just one sign of increased human encroachment into undeveloped areas, near the country's capital, Libreville, leading to calls for conservation action as the importance of Gabon's mangroves has come into sharper focus. Gabon's mangrove trees are really critical forest biomass because the mangroves store so much carbon, says Lisa Goldberg of NASA's Goddard Flight Center. In the past decade, scientists at NASA Goddard Flight Center determined that mangroves in Gabon and other Central African nations are among the world's tallest, with fresh water key to their growth. In Gabon, an abundance of fresh water has enabled mangroves to grow up to 63 meters in height and provide an important break on climate change. Not to mention the fact that they're fantastic filters for the water and keep the waters and the waterways healthy and lead to a proliferation of life, marine life, inside these mangrove swamps. And the Radisson chain will be opening its first resort and its third hotel in Zambia. Radisson Hotel Group announced its first resort and third hotel in Zambia with the signing of the Radisson Blue Resort, Mosiwa Tunya, Livingston, Zambia. Due to open by the end of 2022, this new addition places the group firmly on track, achieving its objective of reaching 150 hotels in operation and under development in Africa by 2025. Nestled on the banks of one of Africa's longest rivers, the Zambezi, in Mosiotunga National Park, 5 kilometers south of the historic city of Livingston, just 4 kilometers northwest of Victoria Falls, one of the 7 natural wonders of the world and a UNESCO World Heritage Site, Convenience is amplified with Harry Mwanga Nkumbula International Airport just 15 minutes away. So more expansion, folks, around Vic Falls in Southern Africa. This is a development, a boon for tourists when normalcy returns, should such an event ever occur. And there you have it, folks. That's the news, headlines, and analysis from today, April 17th, 2021. Thanks for tuning in to Indaba Africa. We'll catch you here next time on Indaba Africa. Take care, folks.